This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. This morning we'll be discussing on the topic, the gains of the gospel. The gains of the gospel. It's fascinating to see in the last few days a lot of people who had only joined our programs online come in to see me here in Europe and talk about the testimonies. Everybody, what we had in common was Christ. What we had in common was not friendship or that I met them before, or maybe blood relatives or anything like that. I've not met anyone that I went to school with or that was introduced to me by somebody, or I'm just saying that there was no horizontal connection between me and all those that I've seen in all the nations I've visited in the last few days. I went to the UK, all my brothers and sisters there. The thing that brought us together into fellowship was the gospel. From UK to Italy, from Italy to Germany, from Germany to France. All the people that I've met, and I've met loads of people. I've met families. I've broken bread with people that hitherto just attended prophetic service. They got the power of the Lord in their life. A miracle happened or two. And some even traveled. Somebody traveled all the way from Hamburg to come and see me in Berlin. Another person yesterday flew in to Paris from Italy to come and say, I want to share my testimonies with you face to face. When I was in the UK, some of my brethren were talking, and all we were sharing were testimonies, businesses being founded, marriages, scholarships, healing, supernatural babies. Some of us remember the testimony of a lady that was raised from the dead in France in one of our prophetic services. She was living in one of the slum areas. Yesterday, I was shocked when I saw her, my two friends. They came in to say, this is me, I'm alive. And they showed me pictures of where they were and where they are now. There was a brother that was in Germany in prison that during the prophetic service, the word of the Lord came for him that he will be set free, even though he did the crime that he was arrested for. And lo and behold, he showed up with his parents, 68 and 65-year-old parents, bringing in a 30-year-old son to come and see me and embrace me and pray and to show me the progress he had made since he came out of prison. On the minister's group, I shared the pictures of a family I went to see. I saw another family. For the first time, I was on the same table with Europeans. Like, I'm not talking about Nigerians who traveled, I'm talking about original Europeans. We sat at the same table, we broke bread together. That is the influence of the gospel. If we are going to heal nations and we are going to preach the gospel, we cannot preach it in English. My English is not as good as some of their English, and it's a second language to me. Some of them, they speak only French, and they still came. Some of them spoke German, and they still came. And it wasn't the language that brought them to me. It was the gospel. There was no language barrier when the gospel is concerned. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that if our gospel is going to be effective and it is going to transverse nations and languages and creed and race, it had to be the supernatural gospel. It is not the gospel of English language. It's not the gospel of French language. It has to be the supernatural language. This is where the gains are. Imagine that two parents couldn't speak English. One could speak a little. The young man can't speak English. They were speaking to me in their language. The young man was interpreting, and all of them were sharing testimonies. And where did he get the testimonies from? From our service. From the prophetic service. From our tongues. From the fragrance of our spirit. You know what the Lord told me yesterday? After I had to meet with people, I think I met about 8 people together yesterday, and it was evening. I was so tired, and I lay down to rest a bit. And while I was sleeping, I was hearing, "Blessed are you when you go out, blessed are you when you come in." It was as if somebody was preaching, right? So it wasn't the voice of the Lord. It was as if like a preacher was preaching and or somebody was reading it from the scripture. So it wasn't the voice of the Lord. It was the voice of maybe somebody praying somewhere or a sermon that has been recorded in the past that was playing somewhere. But my laptop was not on because I really needed to sleep. So I shut everything down. So I was hearing the voice of somebody preaching. My person was saying, "Oh, blessed is my tent. Blessed is my basket. Blessed is my store. Blessed am I when I go out. Blessed am I when I come in. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the blessed." So I was hearing this thing, and it was the thing that woke me up from sleep. So when I woke up, I looked around. I was like, why am I hearing a sermon or a preaching or a reading of Deuteronomy 28? And as I was saying that to myself, I heard the voice of the Lord clearly. The Lord said to me, "Son, your fragrance is like the fragrance of a field that I have blessed." It weakened me. It was a gut punch. I just fell back lifeless on the bed. I began to jump, but because of where I am, I couldn't scream. I was in my house. I would race, I would run, I'll be shouting, "Glory, glory," because that word, the moment it came, the way it came, it was the word I needed, the word I needed to show to the affirmation from the Lord is more important to me than the accolades of people. It was, I could see with my own two eyes the effectiveness of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the ability of the gospel to unite the world, to bring all nations and languages together to fulfill Revelation chapter 5. Please, Lord, please, please, please. Thank you. Because it is very important that we see the gains of the gospel and that it is not the gains of me trying to teach people how to walk, how to dress. It is not an ethical gospel where you teach people this is how to sit down, this is what to wear, this is how to do your shirt. That is not the gospel. That gospel cannot sell. It is not, cannot cross the border. You see how a lot of churches in Nigeria that has branches all over the world, why it is majorly only Nigerians they are attracting into their branches? It just does not look somehow to you how their gospel, that the Jesus they sell, seem to be only bought by Nigerians? You see, we have a branch of this ministry in Canada and only Nigerians attend. And then this one says, we have it, and it's from Ghana. Only Ghanaians attend. It's like you're having a place where people of the same language come together, or the same locality, or the same color come together to come and worship God. But that is not the gospel we received. When you look at the trend that has been set and how it is, you begin to understand why that gospel has a K-leg. The gospel is supposed to transverse race, supposed to transverse language, supposed to transverse creed. It's supposed to be universal. You cannot be saying to Nigerians, women should not do makeup, women should not wear trousers. And then you come to Europe and you see white people, and when you say the same thing to them, they are looking at you as if you are mad. That means that is not the gospel. The gospel is no respecter of anybody's culture, tradition, or religion. It is so universal in nature that all men as they are can receive eternal life and become. That all men. So you see the gospel of Jesus, how the Pharisees, how they met some of them, they were critical, but when they saw the supernatural, they drew close. The centurion drew close. Zarophoenician woman came close. Woman by the well came close. That is the gospel. The gospel is not the gospel that talks about, oh, you must kneel down when you greet your elders. There are cultures where they don't kneel. If your gospel is telling everybody to kneel down, you are practically preaching the culture of your father, not your heavenly father, your earthly father to people. You must say, sir, to me. No. The gospel is not that. The gospel has nothing to do with all those things that we find in many places that all of us carry on our head, and we are thinking that we are pleasing the Lord. Oh no, it is because we are so local and we don't go out. I say this anywhere, I will say this anywhere. When a man's mind has become priggish, he can only see the world through one prism. Say, oh, the gospel that weather can change. In Nigeria, women should wear only skirts. But when they get to the UK or to the US where there is cold, they are allowed to wear thermal. I wear to wear. What kind of gospel is that? That is not, that changes according to weather. That is not the gospel. The gospel has to be universal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is for all men. Universal. Has something to do with a creed, has something to do with race. An Indian man will hear that, and he will be Indian, but he would move from India into the kingdom. For the Bible did not say they become, that they all automatically shed their culture or their tradition. He said all nations, Revelation 5, for he has brought unto God, he has purchased unto God men of all nations. Tribe, tongue, kindred, and they will reign, and they will rule on the earth. So when I sat across and looking at Mr. Felix, and in my head I was thinking, how the wife told me that he wasn't a believer before they met. And now they are bringing a house fellowship to their house. In my heart, I was rejoicing. Why? Because that is the gospel. I'd never met the man personally one-on-one before, but imagine that by the time I would meet him, he has so much advanced in the gospel, in his worship of God, in his prayer life, that he's now opening his door for Bible study to be held in his house in Germany. And when the wife was telling me the progress they've made, I could only sit down and say, glory be to God. That is the gospel. A gospel that opens the door to the gospel, that brings Christ in, that not only makes you a believer, but makes you willing to share your faith with others. That is the gospel. When I was talking to Mrs. Martin, I didn't meet her husband. I was talking to Mrs. Martin and she was talking to me. And she was telling me the progress she had made personally and that of the children and this and that. And she was telling me, oh, I have a women group now on WhatsApp. And that we meet to break bread, to share the word of God. That for now it's only women, but I'm trusting God. In my heart, I was leaping and jumping. Why? That is what the gospel does. Anybody that received the gospel that does not want to share it has not received the gospel. The gospel is news that is so good that there is no way you can hold it to yourself. There is no way you can hold it to yourself. If somebody tells you I'm born again, say, do you mean so? No, I'm not a soul winner. I'll be laughing. When the gospel is the right one, it'd be. When you preach the right gospel, nobody needs to call you to come and let us go and win so. Nibo, you will be, the good news would make you run. The woman by the well, she ran into the city and she announced, I've met the Savior. Come and see for yourself. That is what the gospel does. It makes you so much want to talk. You do not hold back. But when I see those who don't, I say, you don't know the gospel. I don't even bother. Yeah, no, God has called one worker. I said, you don't know the gospel. You don't know the gospel. The gospel will bring you strangers. They will come to learn at the feet of the Lord because of the gospel you preach. Why? Because the gospel is the news that God is no longer angry with man, and that peace has been brokered, and that all men have been reconciled to God. Do you understand that? Let me say it again. The gospel, our gospel, when you preach it the right way, strangers, those who don't know God, atheists, those who don't care about God, when they hear it, it will be so compelling that they will come, because it will show them that, hey, the fight between God and man is over. It is now open season. God is willing to accommodate all that will come in. And that he's not only coming in with words and trying to change you or mess with your mind. It is a supernatural life. When I left the shores of Nigeria to come to Europe, I decided by myself that I will not be announcing, oh, be posting poster everywhere. Come and meet me here. Come and meet me there. No, I wanted the gospel to draw men. I wanted men, if they hear I'm in a city, I'm not coming there to preach. So I didn't want to do, yeah, come, let me pray for you. That was not what I wanted. I could have done that, but I didn't want that. I wanted that Christ would draw to me those he has quickened. Not that I want to reach out and begin to preach to people and pray and be doing meetings. I didn't want that. I wasn't here to do that. I wanted to come and sit, and then the Holy Spirit would then quicken men and say, go and see him. Go and see him. But I found out that the only way the Holy Spirit quickened people to come and see me was through the supernatural that they had encountered in our meetings. When they come and they say they want to see me, or they send me a DM, or they send me a message, oh, where are you? Can we come and see you? And I say, okay, yeah, I'll give the address. And they come. There are some that, by the time I finish this meeting, they're already waiting downstairs because they are traveling today. They have a flight, and they said they will come after this class. I'm going to see them. And they said they want to see you. When we meet and we shake hands, and I was like, oh, what's the name? And they're like, oh, but I've been, guys, you don't know me, this and that. And they begin to tell their stories. They didn't come with stories of, this is the problem of my life. Hey, pray for me. I want job. I want house. No. Nobody that I had met, not one, said, give me any of the normal issues. All of them, their mouths were full of praises and thanksgiving. They were just happy to tell me in person the impact of the gospel on their lives, on their families, on their careers, on their jobs. How easy it is. No, I went to a place. Person said, Barak Benga, it is rare for anybody to build a house abroad. that normally we just we buy. Said, but the Lord showed me a picture of a house, so I drew it down. And I drew it, and it was fine. And suddenly, I got that inspiration that I should build it. I got that inspiration I should build it. So I told my husband, I said, we are going to build a house. And my husband said, oh, that's not necessary. And the husband is a white man. Not something else. You just buy one. He said, no, I want to build a house. We've been told that we should put our imagination and the prophetic word to work. People are receiving houses here and there. So I want to build a house. And I stood in that house that she built. They actually bought land in Berlin and built. And I was in the house. From the underground, I was able to walk through the house, praying in my spirit, blessing the Lord. These are the gains of the gospel. A gospel with tangible evidence. A gospel that transforms lives. A gospel that makes Christ the centerpiece, and his works and wonders, the discussion in the mouth of the saints. This is the gospel that the Lord has called us into. A gospel so profitable. You will walk into a city where you know no man, and yet they know the gospel, and you know the gospel, and the gospel will be your connect. Imagine that. Imagine that you travel to a place, like when I get to Amsterdam now, I have 18 people waiting to see me. I've never been to Amsterdam before. They've never met me before. And yet, they are like, Abraham, we can't wait to see you. We are coming. When I was in Italy, oh, come to our church in Milan. I wanted to come to our minister in our church in Milan. And, you know, what did they see? And like Jesus said, did they see a man clothed in an array of gold? Did they see a voice booming out of Jordan? Was it the clothing? Was it the handsomeness? What did they see? Of course, given the person you know, who would have cared? What they saw was the gospel. They saw that the gospel was transforming. I didn't call anybody to say, do you know anybody here? Can you send me their contact? Never. I just walked into tabula rasa, clear and blank. And then the gospel does the pulling. The gospel does the connection. And how does it do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And how is that power manifested? By the supernatural that is made evident in their life. You see the connection now? Because without those signs and wonders, there will be no reason to connect. Say, oh, he's a good orator. Ah. Oh, he's a public personality. Ah. There is nothing that connects like the gospel. It would bring every nation, tribe, and language to a halt because of his divine power. According to his divine power that works in us. That's what the scripture says. According to his divine power that works in us. This is the gospel that you have received. We did not receive the gospel of morality. I say that all the time because many of us in Nigeria think that it is by wearing our skirt to a particular place, putting beret on our head, or is it beret on our head, not using makeup, not putting on nails. We think that is how we show that we love the Lord or that. No. Many of them, their gospels are not effective. In fact, it's so shocking to me how easy it is, or it was, for me to draw people from other nationalities. When I was in UAE the other time, I met people from Pakistan, I met people from India, I met them in the airport. And now all over Europe and meeting people from other personal nationalities. And they were drawn and we were talking and we were talking the gospel. And while we were talking, they were dressed the way they were dressed. They were the one that is drinking was drinking. The one I had no compulsion about anything like that. That is not my gospel. The one that whatever they are living their life and yet they are testifying of the goodness of God. They are saying this, 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 and I was like, oh, okay, this is what to do, this is what to do. They're asking me, oh, are you here to start a ministry? You want to attend your church? I said, no, I'm not starting a ministry. We have our online ministry. I'm not starting a church. I'm just here to see with my two eyes all the great testimonies that have come from all over the world. To see it, and I'm not going to announce and say, those who have testimony, come and see me. No, if indeed the Lord has done something and you hear him around, the Holy Spirit will then say, yeah, come. And so that was how they came. We took pictures, we broke bread, and throughout, all we were talking about was the goodness of God. And I was at the Louvre. And we sat down to have breakfast. One of my brothers and one of my sisters came. We joined, we sat down together, and all we talked about was the goodness of God. They were just sharing testimony after testimony. Oh, how I met. Oh, what first happened. Oh, what second happened. Oh, what third happened. Then I went for this scholarship exam. Then the money came for me to fly. When they were talking about these things, I sat among them and I was humbled. You know, they didn't say, oh, Abraham, pay for me for hire. No, 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 no. It was just to share the goodness of God. Their mouths were full of thanksgiving and praises automatically. I didn't have to say, oh, share your testimony. Oh, has the Lord done anything for you? I didn't have to ask. Because that was the only connection we had. That was the only thing we could have talked about. What was I going to be asking them? What shoes do you wear? How is the weather? No. We wouldn't have had anything in common but the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel. This is the gains. And it has been an eye-opener for me how we can sit in Nigeria and all over the world and prepare for prophetic service, pray, prepare hard, pray, put effort into it. Then the power of God would move. And we wouldn't even know the extent to which the power of God has reached. Because we sit down in Nigeria, so the cases in Nigeria, some I can go and see them, pray for them, at least take pictures, see the children or the person that was healed or the person that died that came back from the dead. I can do that within Lagos or when I'm in Nigeria, wherever I was in Nigeria. I can do that everywhere, all over the world. But to then come out here, and then for those who had benefited since 2 years ago, 3 years ago, last year, last month, for them to come and to say, this is what the Lord has done. If I have 10,000 tongues, it cannot be enough. How would you know that the influence of the gospel could linger that long in people and then transform them like that? In the early morning service, my brother was talking about that the influence, that we should become the influencers of the gospel. And I agree with him because it aligns with what I'm saying. Suddenly, I realized that there is no greater influence than the gospel. There is no greater influence. Any man or woman that is preaching the gospel, not just in words now, because it is important. Some people just preach the gospel and just English. At the end of the day, they're just like poetry class. That is not the kind of gospel that I would have excelled in. I don't have the kind of doctrine, diction. I don't have the kind of voice that people will say, oh, it's deep. It's a male baritone voice. I don't have it. I cannot sing very well. So the only thing that I told the Lord from the beginning, it has to be the kind of gospel that the early church preached, full of signs, full of wonders, full of miracles, transformative, life-changing, mind-changing, restoring, and bringing people back to the fullness of the love of God in their heart. And that is what I am saying. A gospel that knows no bound. A gospel of love that has no condemnation. A gospel that's not the gospel of right and wrong, but a gospel of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is your gospel. As you go to your churches today, I declare that this is the gospel that you preach. that this is the gospel that you epitomize, that this is the gospel that exudes out of you. I declare that as the Lord told me yesterday, I'm saying the same to you. Your fragrance is like the fragrance of the field that the Lord has blessed. Blessed are you when you go out. Blessed are you when you come in. Blessed is your basket. Blessed is your tent. Blessed is your stall. Blessed are you among all men. The gospel that you preach shows forth the light of God in you. You are a wonder to your world. You work miracles easily. Men are drawn to your light. And when they hold on to it, they become that light. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I call you blessed. You are the blessed of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all these transforming testimonies all over the world. We give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teaching.